Welcome to another episode of Morning Coffee with your host, Rick Alexander. I started this show to talk about all of the interesting, complex, paradoxical, and sometimes uncomfortable aspects of the human experience. If you get anything from this show, the greatest compliment you could give me is to share this show with somebody that you think the message may resonate with, or to head to iTunes and give us a 5-star review. Additionally, if you want to interact with me, you can follow me at @RickAlexander_ on Instagram. Without further ado, on to the show. Happy Friday. Welcome back to another episode of Morning Coffee. Okay, so this is part 2 of Born for Wonder, the chapter in Ambitious Heroes and Heartache, which you can pick up on Audible, at Amazon. Just Google the title and you'll find the audio version. So if you go back and listen to part 1, it may make part 2 make more sense, though I would say if you're just tuning in for the first time, there will be plenty that you can take away from this episode without really having to know anything about where it came from. Now, also, a little announcement. Next week, I've got three great episodes. Two are interviews, and then one is a lecture by Aaron Guyette, who is the person that the second interview is with. So I want to introduce you guys to his methodology before the interview, just to get you kind of primed. He's such a deep thinker in the things that he truly has passion for and cares about. And so I'm super excited to air those next week. Now, that being said, that means this weekend I'm going to have to air the other chapter, Buttons That Make Us Feel Good. You guys will not be left without content anytime soon. I will give you plenty of things to think about. So as we dive back into this chapter, something worth thinking about is the fact that, you know, our minds are spinning up narratives. That's kind of where we left off. Your mind is telling you what's going on in your world and what it means, right? And now sometimes those narratives aren't helpful. Like maybe sometimes the narrative tells you the opposite sex is someone that is not someone that you should trust, right? Well, if you don't have trust, then your world is significantly diminished because you are carrying the weight of it on your shoulders at all times. And so if you can learn to come up with a narrative, for example, that helps you trust the people and the environment and the universe that's around you, you'll find more ease in your life. Now, that's not blind trust, right? Because when blind trust sets us up to fall, right? And that's how we end up cynical. And, you know, for me, and I don't know if you guys have experienced this, but I have to guard myself against cynicism, right? Because I guess I've just seen enough stuff not work out. You know, when you're an adult, you move through the world in a certain way and you become privy to the way that things actually are. And so it's very easy to formulate a cynical plan. And the whole point behind the chapter that I'm reading today is that, well, okay, cynicism is one way to go about it. Also, perhaps we should consider meeting the unknown with reverence, because that changes the way that we engage with it. When we meet the unknown with cynicism, it's like we are looking for the worst possible outcome and we are validating that. That's what cynicism is, right? When we meet something, the unknown, with awe and reverence, we allow it to surprise us for the better. And that's the power of active imagination and wonder. Okay, let's go back into the chapter. So one of the mind's chief characteristics is that it loves to fall in love with its own ideas. It will find more and more things to worry about, and because we live in a world with endless possibilities, it will continue to point out what's wrong and what isn't helping. When this happens, we often feel powerless against stopping it. What might help is if you start to understand that this is the exact moment when a human has a chance to take the driver's seat in his own life. You have the ability to tell your mind what to do, but what you don't have is the ability to tell it what not to do. If you don't believe me, try it right now. Tell yourself not to think about something, anything, and just see how that works out for you. So right now, don't think about a pink elephant. How'd that work out? You see, we have a directing mind. This is something the Stoics figured out. So the Stoic philosophies, right? Marcus Aurelius, Seneca, these people are talking to themselves about what to put their focus on. And, you know, so when they talk about death, it's like, but put your focus on the fact that that's part of life. Put your focus on the fact that this isn't an awful thing to happen to you, right? And so what we find is we have a directing mind that we can put our focus on something, and then that starts to dictate the quality of our lives. But we can't tell our minds what not to do. You know, that's why you've heard of counting sheep when you can't sleep at night, right? So what's happening when you can't sleep at night is your mind is thinking about all of the outcomes and responsibilities and the anxieties and the unknowns, often that are just kind of loose in your mind, right? And you can't tell yourself to stop thinking about them. So that's one of the reasons why journaling, having a journal by your nightstand and just writing down everything you think of, can be really beneficial, right? And then also, that's why counting sheep works, because it directs your mind. It tells it what to do, not what not to do. So whenever you find yourself patterning your mind around a problem and thinking in problems and confirming your own biases, you've got to pull yourself out of that loop by directing your mind at something that is better, something that is more beneficial. You've got to replace the thought, right, until you learn to let the thoughts go. And that's sort of the path there, like, you know, the 30-year Zen master has the ability to just watch thoughts come in and then watch them go out because they've practiced doing so. But in the early stages, when you're learning to get control over your mind, you've got to learn to direct it in a positive and useful place. You know, positive might not even be the right word, just useful. You direct your mind to a place that's actually going to serve you. Okay, that was one paragraph. Back into the book. This concept is instrumental in knowing how to change directions in life. It's here that you have the chance to reparent yourself and change your relationship with the narratives in your life. If the narratives that your mind is spinning up aren't actually helping, all of the self-denying in the world will be useless. For example, if you have an underlying belief that you are a failure, the more that you try to tell yourself that you aren't a failure, the more you will focus on the fact that your mind has a belief that you are. You can redirect your attention to what you want to create, but you can't tell yourself to stop focusing on the narratives that you've already created. Said simply, shift your focus to what works and what you want, as opposed to what isn't working and what you don't want. Stop dwelling on what isn't serving your life and begin to look for what is. Psychologically, your brain is set up for that solution. When you identify areas in your life that aren't working for you, you have to take these moments to calmly search for alternative narratives and then choose the one that you want to adopt. It's not always easy, but it certainly is this simple. So that's just kind of that last rant was all about that concept. You can choose to believe something different than you've believed your entire life. Limiting beliefs are blinding and lead you to believe that you are up against a legitimate wall, as they create walls in your mind. If you want to change your reality, it is only your thinking that you must change. The rest will begin to follow suit. Your mind will tell you something about failure, but you can choose the way in which you respond. Most people don't feel they have the ability to choose how they respond to something. Once again, that is just a misconception about how life works. What holds us back in reality are patterns, not reality itself. As another example, if the narrative in your head is one that says failure isn't an option, whenever you run into an inevitable failure, whether that's a breakup or unfinished or unrealized project or whatever it is, maybe an F in school, your psyche is going to run into a wall. You will find it extremely difficult to ever move past this wall because you have convinced yourself you live in a world where failure isn't an option. You will keep searching for ways to make it right or justify what happened. You will find nothing, however, because failures are a part of life. You will be stuck wherever you are in your growth because your worldview won't allow forward progress. You will just keep going back to the moment that you failed and searching for an angle that lets you keep your worldview intact, the one that doesn't see you as a failure. When people never move on from a breakup, it's often because they never emerge with a new worldview that allows them to. It has very little, if anything, to do with the person that they're pining over. In this case, you may see that people want to get back to someone with whom they've broken up with, even if they weren't particularly happy with the relationship when they were in it. And this is because their minds are convinced that they can, quote unquote, make it right, successfully getting them past the failure. Truly moving forward happens as a result of inner healing. Healing begins when you can honestly look at the broken parts of your life and decide which can be fixed by fixing and which can be fixed by letting go. Start by letting go of your judgment about failure, and you'll start to see that you are free to move on. Once you change your relationship with what's gone wrong, you will get to the point where you understand that nothing has actually gone wrong. You've just positioned yourself in a way to learn through pain instead of love. Your ability to think through these tough situations in life is tied back to your ability to wonder and imagine. We must learn to ask ourselves, this is what I'm seeing, but what am I missing? What else might this mean? It's not what you're going through that makes a difference in your life. It's how you're seeing yourself in relation to what you are going through. If you can imagine a different way to handle the situation, you can handle the situation differently. If you can't, you can't. And with that, you can understand the importance of the human's ability to wonder. The path you can't see has the answer you can't find. I love this chapter because I just think there's so many good like one-liners in there that are worth mentioning. But I want to break down this failure thing because I use the example of breakups in the book, but right now we are in a situation where businesses are failing on a mass scale. Jobs are failing on a mass scale. The media is failing us on a mass scale, right? Because consensus reality is breaking down. Nobody can agree on the problem anymore. And so we are in this world where we are seeing the impermanence of things. We're seeing the failure in front of us. Things are dissolving in front of us. Our jobs are dissolving in front of us. So if you have a mind, right, and this is a Western thing that happens, and this was my mind for the longest time, right? It's like failure is not an option. It's like, well, when you live in a world where things fail, if you make failure not an option, guess where you get stuck, where the actual failure happens, right? And so what happens is because you've convinced yourself that you live in a world where it's not okay to fail, then as things do fail and do dissolve in your hands, your mind gets stuck in that place and you're just constantly reconfiguring because you want to hold your worldview together where you live in a world where you don't fail. So understand that what I'm trying to get at in this chapter is you can change the way you're looking at it, right? The worldview can change because the failure is inevitable. These things happen. They happen to us and they happen all the time. So if you can change your worldview to a one that I don't know, maybe fail, you understand that failure is the tuition that you have to pay for a worthy life, well, then it just starts to make sense. You start to realize, oh, I'm being taught something in a tough way, no doubt. Failure is not easy, but that's what it is, you know? And if it's not that, like you just get stuck there. So worth considering anyway. All right, when we are really young, say before 12 years of age or so, most of us haven't been indoctrinated into the world of negative media cycles and people who don't believe in our dreams. As a result, we tend to put our wonder in some really positive places. We wonder what we might be able to be when we grow up, and when we craft the answer with a reckless optimism that lights up our eyes with hope for the future. The key to a good life is allowing your wonder to be soaked in reverence for life itself. If you're going to choose to keep living in this life, then you have to decide that living is in itself worth it. Any theory of the universe that leaves us questioning its point will always require a part of us to remain in contemplation. That is part of ourselves that could be gaining momentum forward. Life is like anything else. If it is worth doing, it is worth doing well. Doing well is about how you do what you do. It is a mindset, not an achievement. The only thing that I would point out about that chapter is like that one line, any theory of the universe that leaves us questioning its point will always require a part of us to remain in contemplation. Look, you've got to decide if life is worth it or not. As the foundation for your belief system, right? This is the foundation is like the filter that all the things that happen in your life get filtered through. And so if you haven't decided that life is worth it, now this might sound obvious, but it's by no means obvious. And I would say when I was really falling into a deep depression a few years back, I realized it's because I hadn't yet decided that life was inherently worth it. But if it is worth it, right? Then what that means is when you are presented with problems, you are much more solution oriented because you've already decided that it's worth it. You're not in a crisis of why am I even here? What am I even doing? And so if you can, I would say work your mind to that place where you decide that life is inherently worth it and let that be the foundation from which everything else builds. And if you don't do that, like I said, enough catastrophe, which is coming, by the way, for all of us, unfortunately, enough catastrophe will make you start questioning it. So decide that before you get in the storm, you know, decide what you're going to, how you're going to live before the wind starts blowing super hard and starts, you know, knocking you off course. Okay. So, okay, here I am. Sorry. If it's worth doing, it's worth doing well. Okay. Doing well is about how you do what you do. It's a mindset, not an achievement. That's why when we want to be heroes or rock stars or princesses when we're young, no one's told us yet that we can't, so our minds are still free to believe that we can. See, because in reality, heroes and rock stars and princesses all exist now. You're just not one of them because you won't allow yourself to be. Most people also don't know any of them because the soil they've planted themselves in also wouldn't allow people to be. You exist in a barren desert, and you've convinced yourself that flowers aren't real because you can't see any. A crucial mistake in the human experience is taking all of the confusion and perplexing situations that we face and allowing the suspicion about what they might mean to be hijacked by pessimistic narratives coming from people with a poor understanding of reality. Even painful situations in life can be acknowledged as painful without a pessimistic worldview. Failure can be the best thing or the worst thing to ever happen to you. The kicker is that the only one who gets to decide that is the person who is affected by it, you. You can marvel at the universe beyond your understanding with reverence and see all that it might hold for your life, or you can continue to fight as if you are in an adversarial relationship with everything that you don't understand. Again, the only person that can decide that is the person that's standing face to face with the unknown. That's still you. See, people go around saying all kinds of things about the world in order to feel safe. Other drivers on the road are idiots. Other countries are a threat to our way of life. Other religions are derived from the devil. The more someone makes a negative absolute judgment about parts of the world around them, the more you can rest assured that they don't understand it. No one has ever done anything great by pointing out what the world lacks. No one has improved their life with that tactic either. What's different than you is not stupid or threatening or evil. If you can get to the point where you believe that, you stand a chance at actually learning something. Never underestimate the fact that what the unknown will teach you is the thing that you need to know in order to change your life. That's one of the incredible truths that's built into the equation that runs the universe. The whole thing is set to give you what you need to grow, if you have the courage to confront what you don't know. If you want to know if someone is living a scared or frightened existence, keeping their consciousness smaller than it could be, you must only look to their relationship with the unknown. Our psychology has built in mechanisms for finding negative situations. This is because the possibility always exists that the monster waiting in the unknown is ready to swallow you whole. Be that as it may, what history repeatedly teaches us is that there is no valor found in the chances you don't take. Everything you could ever want is currently waiting beyond the horizon. You're just too scared to move past the horizon. Your life will be either boring or incredible based on whether or not you decide to take up arms against the unknown. People that are afraid to confront the unknown will learn to make themselves feel better by bringing the world down around them. They're the kids that are too cool for school and always see themselves as above what they're doing. This is how they cope with their fear of engaging earnestly with a force that could take them out. Those same people will grow up to tell you what you can't do. When you're too good to be somewhere, you're never actually able to point out what's good about where you are. A life of being too cool for what's around you will leave you completely incapable of enjoying it. Valor is earned as you shoulder risk with your eyes forward and your chin up. Something I want to point out right there, the unknown scares the shit out of us as human beings, right? Totally. But it's worth understanding that the unknown, while it does hold everything that could kill you and could make your life much worse, it also holds everything that could make your life worth it, better, improved. It holds growth, it holds opportunity, right? But we have to learn to engage with the mystery in a way so that those are the things we can extract from chaos, right? Because the unknown is chaos, right? It's the feminine energy that gives birth to everything, right? That is what chaos is. And so you have to think, okay, so if the chaos is feminine, what do I need? I need masculine energy when I deal with it. And what's masculine energy? Well, masculine energy is directive, right? It is pointed. It is methodical. It is devoted. So if you have methodical, pointed, devoted energy as you approach the unknown, what you're able to do is extract the order out of it. That's how we evolve. Okay. As we age, we have a tendency to let the world negatively influence us much more. We vibrate at a lower frequency as we contend with cyclical thought patterns. And as a result, we begin to put our wonder in some really unfortunate places. We wonder if we'll ever be good enough or if that person really likes us. We wonder if we'll ever catch a break or when it will finally be our turn. The world has a way of turning our wonder from a place of excitement about ourselves to insecurities about how we will be perceived by everyone else. Suddenly our wonder, which used to be a source of hope, becomes the source of our anxiety. Untangling the feelings that rob you of your well-being starts by understanding that the root of all anxiety is the unknown. When we start looking at the unknown as if it is something to be feared, we give our anxiety the room it needs to grow. Our brains are staggeringly good at vivid visualizations. We're good at fabricating the terror that could be lurking in the unknown, and it has a tendency to want to review that terror every time we have a quiet moment. Dealing with the unknown in life is just like everything else. It's made better or worse by where you choose to put your focus. If you focus on what could go wrong, the sense of wonder that you've been avoiding is likely to find itself heading in the wrong direction. In this case, the fear of what could go wrong is going to ruin your well-being far more than anything actually going wrong. You'll make decisions based on fear. Those decisions will force you to avoid things you want so that you can keep the scaries at bay. Most likely, your life will continue down this path because everything in your psyche works on momentum. Fear only begets more fear. All of our lives, we're told not to wonder. We're told to play it safe and to be reasonable in our expectations. To take this tact, however, is to forget from where we come. To be human is to risk. It is only through risk that you will gain what you don't yet have. The good news is that you had the skills to live this way since day one. You just have to commit to never having the maybe I should have conversation with yourself. You'll know that people that don't make that commitment because they'll be the first ones to have the maybe you shouldn't conversation with you. When it comes to crafting a truly authentic life, that childlike wonder that we're taught to dismiss is the key to the entire thing. As we age and focus much more on responsibility and what we have to do, we focus much less on every little feeling and thought that arises. We have semi-formed ideas about something we might want to do or try at some point or places we'd like to go, but we're taught to dismiss those thoughts as unimportant. We prioritize what people tell us to prioritize, specifically or implied. But more often than not, the result is us focusing on a whole lot of areas in our lives that aren't actually improving them. Our hopes and dreams are deprioritized as we try to navigate the world without being ridiculed or looking stupid. Know that as long as you cling to what you've deduced as reasonable, you will never be in a position to create a life that is incredible. What is incredible almost always falls outside of what society deems reasonable. You're not under any obligation to maintain a reasonable life by society's arbitrarily undefined metrics. The path to the true self starts when you stop prioritizing the world's opinion over your own. The problem is that you've been contending with the world's opinion since day one. If you learn to listen to that small voice inside, what you'll find is that it isn't so small. It's your ticket to an authentic expression of you on this earth. In light of this fact, the question becomes, how do you start actually listening to you, and how do you deprioritize the person that the world wants you to be? The person that you wonder if you could become, and the things that you wonder if you could do, might just be the place to start. So that's the end of this chapter, Born for Wonder, Ambitious Heroes and Heartache, a book about what it means to be human. The only thing I want to say about this last part here is that, you know, this is what happens to adults in the Western world. Often, you know, it happened to me, it's happened to almost everyone I know. You know, you grow up, you haven't seen things not work out. So your wonder goes to positive places. You know, people ask you, what do you want to be when you grow up? And that wonder, that sense of reverence starts to scan the possibilities and starts to form a vision in your mind of all that you actually could be based on whatever your innate interests and values are. But as you grow older, people die around you. Things stop working out. Relationships fall apart. Jobs fall apart. Friends let you down that you could never imagine letting you down. And what happens as an aggregate of all of these things that have happened to us is that our wonder becomes, it starts to get a negative tint to it. Our wonder starts to bring our minds to the worst case scenario because we've already seen them play out. And so then our minds are actually literally working against us. And right now we're in a place where, because there's such a breakdown of what is, right? What is accepted, what is reality, what is everything, right? Jobs, economy, everything's breaking down. The thing that will get you out of that is active imagination, right? This is real talk, because your ability to create your life, that's the gift you have as an adult. And now that everyone has creativity to different levels, right? And some people have such a low openness and creativity and such high conscientiousness that it's very difficult for them to look at their life as a blank canvas. That's fine. But understand that your mind, while analytical, while reasonable, while logical, is also creative. Your mind has the ability to connect dots in a fashion that is not linear, right? And that is what helps you build a better picture for where you're going. Something definitely worth thinking about. I love you guys. Hope you have an amazing weekend. We'll talk later on Morning Coffee.